There's clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to episode 81 of ASO Radio. This is ND17
and DB3,
who has not positioned my mic quite the way I like it.
Sorry.
Well, you know.
When it's just so small it doesn't matter.
It's important, so it picks us both up well. Anyways. We have a heck of a show for you tonight.
One heck of a show.
We're going to probably review a bunch of stuff because we haven't done that for a while.
And maybe 20 minutes.
And, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. We'll get things done on my schedule. We're also going to be featuring part of our interview with...
Carrie Savage.
Which should be very fun for...
Everyone.
Carrie Savage.
Oh.
who shall be listening. And we had a really great, funny plan for you tonight. So great and so funny, I'm actually going to take time to script it all out proper and bring it out for episode 82. So for everyone, and Carrie Savage, we have a very fun interview, we got some reviews for you, and should we just skip the news this week?
Yeah, skip the news.
We did enough news on the live show, which we'll be bringing back in December, once we get some ads out telling about the show, getting enough people listening to make a live show worthwhile. We're going to start doing that again. So I guess that's just about all we have to say before we go ahead and start up our reviews. So here we go. Does it suck? Does it rock? Who knows? Anime review. Well, we had a brief bout of technical difficulties just now, but we're back. We're ready with reviews.
And you know what? It's even funnier. It's not like they'd even known we would have had the technical difficulties.
Yes, but I needed to express my frustration.
Because we're still having them.
Yes. Well, yes. We can record at this point, but not listen to the playback, which is kind of frustrating. But what's important, we can record. Now, granted, I'll have to mix the show together later. Then it'll be important to be able to hear, but we'll try to survive. So, tell them what we're going to do for the reviews, DB3.
We are going to do it shotgun style.
Shotgun style. Okay, so, it's going to be fun doing it shotgun style.
Yes.
And we're going to take these quick. I think I reviewed The Adventures of Mini Goddess Volume 2, The Bell Dandy Files, on one of the live episodes.
Yeah.
So, everything from that onwards is up for us to review.
All right.
And... see, is there anything else? Well, we've got Samurai 7 we're still working on. And we have Evangelion Volume 5, which will probably be forever before we finish that up, because I want to watch through this series, but in another sense, it kind of drives me freaking crazy. So, okay. So, The Adventures of Mini Goddess Volume 2, The Bell Dandy Files, continues the long-lasting series of quick comedy sketch anime that was done for this. Each episode is about 10 to 15 minutes long, so there's quite a few fitted onto each disc. This second disc includes about 8 more additional episodes. They're all funny. The writers are coming a bit more into their own. Got a couple of double-parters. One, I think, was even a triple-parter. One episode was 3 small parts in one of the small episodes, which was kind of crazy, which is kind of like how each goddess would solve the problem. It was funny because, of course, Erd Ghost tries to solve it with the potion. Skull Ghost tries to solve it with the robot. Bell Dandy goes and contemplates on it all the way to the end of the episode. So kind of funny.
The poor guy.
Yeah, poor Ganchan. And anyways, I'm going to go ahead and I'll give this a recommended. It's brainless drivel, but it's a lot of fun. DB3, take it away with Slayers Volume 1.
The Slayers Volume 1. Slayers is one of the first medieval anime you can... when you think of medieval anime, that'll come to mind.
Especially if you're thinking comedy.
Yes. It talks about this sorceress who goes around...
Lena Inverse.
Lena, going around collecting...
Loot. Chop, chop. Gotta go fast.
I know. I'm trying to think of it. I don't know.
Loot?
Loot from bad ends. Bad guys.
Bandits.
Bandits. That's the word I'm looking for. And the first episode, she does it, gets the town destroyed because she goes after some bandits, but doesn't destroy them completely, leaving their pet dragon behind. She meets her
Gory.
Friend, Gory, and they go off on an adventure, trying to solve everything. One of the things they got from the bandits was a statue, and basically the statue is what sort of leads into all the other episodes. People trying to come after them, get it, steal it, they make friends, enemies. It's pretty interesting.
One of the bad guys becomes a good guy, and all in all, pretty worthwhile thing to watch. What do you rate this one?
I rate this one recommended.
And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give this a recommended as well. Wears a bit thin on your 18th viewing, but it's still an enjoyable series.
But you watch it 18 times.
True. So, shotgun sound. Oh, it's my turn.
Oh, sorry.
Because now we're going to go ahead and review Planetez Volume 1. Did you watch all of this?
I did. I only watched the first episode.
All right, then I'll review this real quick. Planetez is an attempt to go and create anime about the near future, about space travel and living out in outer space.
Yeah.
In the future, of course, a lot of debris is collected from all the various missions and satellites and whatnot over time, so they have the half division, the debris section, in order to go and retrieve all of these bits. They're kind of the low men on the totem pole, but provide an essential and life-saving service.
So basically, they're like garbage men.
In a sense, they're garbage men in space.
Wow.
Lots of likable characters, all with their own unique histories and backgrounds. And what's nice about this show is Planetez is an attempt to portray a realistic experience in space instead of giant mechas and sounds and all this other crap that you typically see in sci-fi shows. And I have to give it mad props for being really realistic, for having likable characters and whatnot, but there's just something that's missing that would make this super great. So we'll see if Volume 2 goes and brings that part to the game. Don't know if it will, but I'm going to give Planetez Volume 1 a recommended. And I'm tempted to give it a highly recommended, but like I said, just missing that little essential bit. Shotgun, please. All right, DV3, take it away with Captain Tyler's TV series Volume 1.
Well,
leave this to me.
I can do the first two episodes of this because those are the only ones I watch.
Go on.
Basically, it starts off with this with Tyler. What's his last name?
His name is actually Juste Ueki Tyler. Tyler is his last name.
Well, we'll go with just Tyler. Tyler was is sort of a laid-back guy who doesn't like doing anything. He's joining the Army because it's
the United
Space
Defense Force.
Oh, yeah. He's joining the United Space Force because it's a pretty laid-back job. He figures he'll get pension, everything. And that's where exactly where it starts. That's the pension department. And because of that, he's able to go and give pension to an older guy who is being actually held hostage, and he solves the hostage because he's such laid back, drives him nuts, basically, and he's promoted.
Yes, Tyler's quite the smooth talker, and he ends up going into the office to get into the military and happens to be lucky enough to go and get drafted because they suddenly broke out into war.
Yeah.
Second episode, like DB3 said, he goes to deliver a pension, and through his smooth talking and his laid-back ways, he manages to outthink the criminals, resolve the situation peacefully, and thus he gets promoted to captain, which we see in the third episode, and he becomes the captain of his own space brig, whose his first order is, let's head out into space, even though they're not supposed to do anything without authorization. They go anyways, and they come across one of the first Ralgon leaders who goes and engages them. The first thing Tyler orders the crew to do is surrender, which they promptly do, and are boarded by the Ralgon army. Well, one of the hazing rituals that the new guys gave to both the first captain and to Tyler, the first captain, of course, butt heads with Tyler all the time because he's the standard military, wants things done proper, and Tyler's such a laid-back guy. So, Tyler, however, doesn't open his hazing gift. The gift was a bomb, which the captain did open. The first officer opens, blows him up. But Tyler doesn't open it because he's too lazy and doesn't get around to it. And he gives that as a parting gift to the Ralgon leader, who happens to open it up on the way back. When he does, it explodes, sends their ship careening into the master battleship, which then sends off its alarm systems. It shoots lasers, destroys all the other ships around it, and Tyler gets upgraded to lieutenant commander. And that brings us to the conclusion of the first disc of Irresponsible Captain Tyler. DB3, your thoughts on this?
I really liked it. I liked the way, like, I can sort of relate to Tyler's because I'm pretty laid back. I wish I could be more lazy. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a pretty good talker, so I really enjoy Ty. I could really relate with him.
Well, myself, I'm quite lazy too. And I like to fancy myself a smooth talker. But either way, this was an enjoyable series. I like the first volume, but Deep Three, what you gonna give this one?
I'm gonna give this one a highly recommended. I really enjoyed it.
And I'm gonna give this one a neutral. It just doesn't have enough pacing, even pacing and fast enough for me. But then again, I'm a guy who likes a lot of action and things to go fast. See what I mean? Okay, so our final review is Mice and Ikkaku, Box Set, Volume 2, Disc 2 of 3. I'm just flying through these, baby. Okay, so Mice and Ikkaku, Volume 2, I'm going to actually have to check it out because this is a slow-moving series, and I got to refresh myself real quick on what happened on this one. Okay, four episodes. First story is the story of Kyoko's first love on rainy days like these, which basically consists of our hero Godai's girlfriend from his previous job, who wishes she could be his girlfriend instead of just a friend that the girl that he goes on dates on, happens to come across Kyoko, and she reminisces with Godai's friend about her first love, who of course is, what's his name? It's the name of her dog. You hear it all the time. Come on.
You can do this, son.
I think it's Sosuke. And so they reminisce about that. And basically, Godai has a very small part in this, but it's kind of nice to see the backstory, but really slow and boring. So, then the second one, Kyoko's gift. What, you mean it's for me? Oh, our friend Godai has his heart filled with joy because, all of a sudden, Kyoko goes and gives him a hand-knit scarf. Very happy man, especially since he spent all of his last money to go and buy her a present, which unfortunately gets seen by his other girlfriend, who then thinks it's for her, and because she gave him a gift, he has to give that to her. So then he's like barely had enough money to get by already. So then he's got to buy a second gift for Kyoko. Turns out that all the residents are throwing her a party, and so that he needs to pay money also for this party to go to, because of course the smooth-talking tennis coach is going to be there. So now he's out three times the amount of money he thought he was going to be, and so he has to live on less wages than an all-noodle diet would sustain for the next month. He's like, I guess I can live a couple of days without food. The third one is actually, it's New Year's Eve, because the second episode happened during Christmas, that's why they were giving gifts. New Year's Eve, a special time in Japan, of course, and unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on the character's viewpoint, Godai ends up being alone with Kyoko on New Year's Eve because everybody else is going off to visit family, friends, or whatnot, and one of the residents get asked to go ski. So, those two are alone, and I don't want to spoil what happens in that episode, but very funny episode. Basically, Godai wants to put on the moves, but he can't bring himself to do it as much as he tries. And lastly, Kyoko's ticking time bomb, Godai's extended absence. Basically, Godai, after New Year's, goes and visits his parents. And he goes and ends up staying there for quite a while because he's a daydreamer. And he ends up walking into a pole and giving himself a black eye. Well, he can't go back with this and an embarrassing story. So he stays longer, and his dad jumps on him for being lazy. And so he goes out to deliver noodles for his dad, daydreams again, crashes into a pole, gets the other eye blackened as well. The whole time, though, Kyoko's thinking that Godai went back to his hometown or possibly didn't even go there, and is with a girl, driving her crazy with him not being around because, you know, before she just casually shrugged him off, but with him gone, it's driving her crazy with him not being there. And a very fun episode, all in all. Of course, I'm a fan of this series, and so I'm going to go and give this one a highly recommended for Volume 5, if you will, of Mice and Ikkaku. And I think that brings us to the end of our review section. Boy, I tell you, we sure got a lot of reviews done in a short amount of time. Yeah. That last one took the longest, but it needed a little bit of clearing over. So, how'd you like to end this section, DB3?
Stay expected and wait for something special.
Samurai 7 and possibly Neon Genesis Evangelion Volume 5.
Yeah.
So,
we also have Aura Battler. Oh, Kamini. Aura Battler Dunbine. I can bring over sometime.
Oh, yes. That's right. I remember you talking about that now. Okay, so, onwards and upwards to the fan mail. So, did you get an anime DVD in the mail?
Better yet, fan mail.
Alright, so now we got time for the fan mail. And we have actually three that we need to read.
Yes,
so
three.
DB3 will take the first one. And let's see here. Got to wait a little bit. Up there we go. And now pull up the mail. So, let's see. Okay, well, actually, I'll take this first one. First of all, got some good news about our click-throughs. We actually sold some more from the Right Stuff International, so we got a little bit more commission, and we're, you know, starting to get enough money. Hopefully, we'll be able to pay for the website next year, you know. So far, we're up to $4.16, so hopefully, if we can get, like, let's say $5 each month in commissions, then we will be able to pay for the site.
That would be great.
Well, we at $5 a month, we probably wouldn't. At $10, we would. Yeah. So, but we got to work our way up. So we're doing pretty good on that. I'm proud of all of you for using our affiliate links from AnnieFanaticWho and MacRoboV and possibly from the forum to go and purchase items. And, of course, DB3 knows that I would be very glad if he went and if he bought anything from eBay, Amazon, or the Right Stuff International to go to the NZ17 Productions forum, go to Commonplace Chat, find our affiliate links, and follow those to buy things so we can get commission and keep the show going.
Yeah.
So, enough of my needless, or actually it's probably needed, we're really short on money, talk. It's time to move on to another boring bunch of stats. Basically, we're getting a pretty good click-through on AnnieFanaticWho and MacRoboV for the little ads we put on there. We're actually getting about a 3% click-through rate, which is rather respectable.
It is.
And recently we've had people interested in iTunes music, which is kind of interesting. Unless, of course, people are just clicking on the links thinking we get money that way, which, unfortunately, as nice it would be if it worked that way, it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Okay, but time for a real piece of fan mail. DB3?
This is from Carrie Savage. She writes, "Hey guys."
Wait, don't forget the subject line.
Oh, the subject line is press interview? It says, "Hey guys, my name's Carrie Savage, an LA-based anime voice actor. You all did an interview with me at the recent convention in Dallas. I think it was Anime Fest. If not, then it was Nandesukan in Colorado.
Yep, that's the one.
I asked you to notify me when that would be available for listening to, but never heard anything. Is that available? And if so, how in the world do I find it? Would appreciate a response as soon as possible. Thanks. Would appreciate it if you keep my email address." What's that? Private. Thank you so much.
Well, it says private, but yeah, private.
Thanks so much, Carrie Savage.
Okay, well, first of all, I want everyone to bear in mind that you shouldn't write to Miss Savage at, oh, I'm sorry. No, we have a strict privacy policy at NZ17 Productions, and we share none of the email addresses of anybody who writes into the show, unless for some reason they write in and they say, "Share my email address with the world!" Which we never get anyone saying that, so we never share people's email addresses on the show. Unless, of course, they had a weird request like that. You know, I don't know why. Maybe they really need their ego stroked or verification of their existence or something. Who knows? So,
see, I'd be scared just checking junk mail because people are saying, "Ooh, look, I have a perfect email address."
Well, with our numbers, no one has to worry about spam, even if we did that. So, no need to worry about your email addresses, and since you asked about the interview, well then, I'm inclined, when people ask nicely, to give. Okay, so once again, we're with Carrie Savage, and I say once again because we did such a lovely interview, so nice and long, but then we actually didn't have an interview because the sound equipment wasn't working. Turned out our adapter, our phono plug adapter for the microphone was bent, and so it wasn't transmitting the audio.
Ah.
That's part of the reason why we didn't have an interview. For us, this will be a little redundant in what we asked Ms. Savage and what she says, but that only means it'll be more concise this time. So, which is a good thing. Unless, you know, they want us to do hour and a half long shows. Okay, so anyways, would you tell everyone a bit about yourself and your current projects and whatnot?
Carrie Savage from LA, voice actress at some of the studios there. For anime, I'm some past projects are Fuko and I'm a new Strawberry Eggs, Raka and Hibane Renmei. I'm getting nervous now because there's two people watching. Oh, it's okay. let's see. I need my cheat sheet.
The funny thing about the guests this year, they all have cheat sheets.
Yeah.
That's what they've been in for easy recollection.
Hakafu and Ikitosin, Shima and Stelvia, Arimi and Marmalade Boy, there's Technolize, Ultramaniac, Daphne and the Brilliant Blue, Girls Bravo, Melody of Oblivion, Paranoia Agent, ROD the TV series, and lots more stuff.
You know, it's kind of funny. Last time I didn't get a chance to ask you, but Girls Bravo, is it weird to be in such a cheesecake show?
You know, after Ikitosin, not as weird. Ikitosin was so over the top with the fan service that Girls Bravo seems very
tame.
And the only thing, I think, you know, the fan service is mainly the, you know, the booby shots. I hope that's okay to say, but like when she's taking a bath. And it's done so innocently that it doesn't bother me as much. And I think the show is well written, except for, of course, it kind of went a little insane on the first few episodes of season two with the octopus and... stuff like that.
Don't look at the flyers on the tables around here.
okay.
There's a squid one going around, and it's called The Revenge of Ace. So,
great.
But anyhow, yeah, that Girls Bravo is funny because it's a lot of bounce per ounce. You know?
Yeah. But have you seen Nancy Kellison?
No,
it'll knock Girls Bravo out of the park where that's concerned, though. I don't know how to explain it.
Basically, you're callous now.
Not really, but Girls Bravo just really does seem tame in comparison.
All right, well, we talked about this previously, but what was it quite like to be on Paranoia Agent with, you know, just the... you know, psychology and all that with the characters and basically pressure getting to them all, and, you know, it's kind of, you're part of the center of that in a sense.
Well, to be honest, that's one of the shows that I didn't get to do my, I like to watch the shows with the videotape and the scripts ahead of time for that volume that we're recording, and Jonathan is so wonderful to usually give that to me. With Paranoid Agent, I didn't really get to do that, so it just, you know, it just wasn't really necessary for that particular show. And so I don't really know what was going on in the rest of the show while I was recording it, except for what Jonathan explained to me, which had my wheels turning in my head, and I was very confused. And I did not know that Moromi was creepy until I went in to record. I did auditions first, obviously, but then I went in to record, and I turned to Jonathan, and I'm like, there's something not quite right about this stuffed animal, is there? He's like, maybe. I'm not saying anything. And that's how Jonathan is. He won't give away anything in advance. And so I do have seen the whole show now, and I still don't all the way get it.
Of course, by the time you get to the closing credits, then it really sinks in there's something wrong with the pink puppy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I do get the pink puppy. I do get Moromi.
Right.
But it's all the trips into, like we were saying last time.
The LSD trips the characters go on.
Yeah.
And into their mind and when it breaks down.
Like Liam's character goes on. I don't know. I don't remember. Thank you so much. I don't remember what...
Well, I haven't seen a large amount of Paranoid Agent. I was watching it for a while, but the life of an otaku, especially one that's a computer otaku, is a busy one. Computers, the problems never end, as people hearing the static on this recording well know. but I did see the one with the prostitute. I thought that was a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
Where she basically created a different person in her mind, so that she wasn't herself impure, but this, you know, person inside of her that she put all the bad stuff onto, and it became so powerful that there was an inner conflict between the two sides of her, I guess you could say, up to the point where it was actually completely separate personalities vying for the body.
Yeah. Yep.
So an interesting show, but really slowed things down. Okay, so now, hallelujah, our technical difficulties happened to let us actually record this last part. It's so amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's nice.
Okay, so that was our hot spot, if you couldn't tell. First half of our interview with Carrie Savage, who, despite her last name, is actually a very mild-mannered and fun person.
And very, very nice.
And high-pitched. But enough about all that. We're going to wrap up our show now, which is probably the meatiest show we've had. Short in length, thick in content. So, for episode 81 of ASO Radio, this is NZ17
and DB3
signing out.